Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, morning, everybody. So we've been looking at this theme of the word of God, and we started back in November, but we took a break for Advent and Christmas. And then in this series, we started with the written word of God, and then we moved on to the spoken word of God. So this is the final week on the spoken word of God. And then next week, we begin the final section on the word of God, which is all about the living word. So we've been looking at the written word, the spoken word, and the living word. But actually, the living word has been a theme running throughout the whole series. So back in November, I spoke on Jeremiah chapter 31 from the Old Testament. And in there, Jeremiah, the prophet, says this: "This is the covenant I will make. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." So right from the beginning, the written word was destined to be the living word. So the words on the page or on the scroll, as it was then, were not meant to stay there. But they're meant to be read and interpreted and heard and to enter our minds and enter our hearts and change how we live. The living word connects us to the living God and connects us to each other. Now, today's passage follows on well from last week when Sally was speaking about the first commission of the disciples, which was to go out in twos and to the nearby villages, to the Jewish people who were living there, with a message. And the message that Jesus sent them with was, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." And as they went, they were to heal the sick, raise the dead, and to drive out demons. And after this, Jesus continues to teach and to heal, and he predicts his own death, and he enters into Jerusalem in the style of a king. You know, that moment when he comes into Jerusalem on the donkey. And in that moment, he's living out that kingdom is near message, because he's coming as a king, a very different kind of king, but as a king would enter the city. But then, of course, he's arrested, he's tortured, he's crucified, he dies, but then he rises again. Then when he comes back to his disciples, then comes this second commission. So in today's passage, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus comes to the disciples, and this is what happens. It says at verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" So this is Jesus' final words to his disciples before he ascends to heaven and then sends the Holy Spirit. And I think it's really important that as followers of Jesus, that we hear and we grasp these words, because these are Jesus's final words to the disciples. So what does Jesus say to them? And what does Jesus say to us? Does he say, "Go and start churches"? No. Does he say, "Go and read your Bibles," or "Go and study theology," or "Go and convert people," or "Go and feed the poor," or "Go and heal the sick," or "Just go and be nice and kind to people"? No. He says, "Go and make disciples." So these are Jesus Christ's parting words. We could say that they're the most important words that Jesus ever spoke, and they are to go and make disciples. It's really important that we know what it means to make disciples. What on earth does making disciples look like? Well, maybe to start to answer that question, we need to first look at what is a disciple. If we're to make disciples, we need to first know what a disciple is. You wouldn't go and make a cake without knowing what a cake is. So you can't really go and make disciples unless you know what a disciple is. What does it mean to be a disciple? So Sally last week told us that the disciple is a learner, that the word Jesus used for disciple translates as pupil or learner or student, which is true. But actually, it kind of misses something when those words hit our modern ears. So disciple as learner, we tend to think of learning as the passing on of information. So like lots of parents at the moment, we're in the midst of lockdown home learning. I've been trying to help Ted with his number bonds and computer coding and split digraphs, none of which I can remember when I was at primary school. I've been helping Lucy, who's at secondary school, to try and understand what on earth Shakespeare is going on about in Romeo and Juliet. And my eldest has been completing her GCSE mock exams. And she's worked really hard at learning information in order that she can then remember that information and put it down in an exam paper or an essay when she needs to. Now, that is one way of learning, and that tends to be the learning we have and that we've grown up with in our culture. But that isn't Jesus's way of teaching. Another translation of disciple is apprentice. And this maybe helps us get a bit closer to what Jesus meant. Because a disciple learns on the job. This is certainly how Jesus related to his disciples. He took them with him, traveling, eating, teaching, healing. They shared the whole of life with him. Not just the moments when Jesus was in front of a large crowd and doing the teaching, but also those difficult moments of confrontation and challenge from the religious authorities. And also the quiet moments of just rest and, you know, sharing meals together, just being together for the whole of life. That's what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. And we see in the New Testament that the call to be a disciple of Jesus is a call to know Jesus, enjoy Jesus, and become like him. I really like that quote, that sort of little pithy statement, that to be a disciple means to know Jesus, to enjoy Jesus, and to become like Jesus. I was thinking about my journey of faith, and I thought, well, how much of it is discipleship, or how much of it is just kind of church going? Well, as a young child, I went to church and to Sunday school, and in that Sunday school, I learned stories from the Bible all about Jesus. I learned essentially that God was good, that God loves me, and that God is kind and God wants me to know him. And then when I was 10 years old, I was asked if I wanted to follow Jesus and give my life to Jesus. Now, I was very young and I didn't really know what that fully meant, but I knew enough about God from my Sunday school and from what my mum had told me about God and Jesus that I knew that I could trust God. So I was willing to sort of say yes, even though I didn't fully understand what it meant. And then as a teenager, through a small Christian youth group, I was encouraged to ask questions about faith. Questions about faith and about the Bible and about the whole of life. And I was really starting to think for myself about these things. I was thinking, does this make sense, this whole Christian story, this whole story about who Jesus is? Does it make sense to me? And I was, of course, growing up in a world and a culture that was increasingly secular. So it was a real challenge. You know, at secondary school, being a Christian was seen as a weird, out of touch, sort of old fashioned thing. Yet the more I learned about Jesus, the more I wanted to get to know him. Even though as a teenager I thought church was largely boring and irrelevant, actually I thought Jesus was very relevant and really sort of engaging, and I wanted to know more. And then when I was 16, I was challenged to ask the question, do I want to follow Jesus with the whole of my life? And I decided that the answer was yes. I knew Jesus enough at that point to know that I could trust him, that he wanted the best for me, that whatever ideas I had about what I wanted to be when I was older, which was, I think, largely that I wanted to be a famous actor or a famous musician, that actually by following God, there would be something even more fulfilling. And I was privileged, of course, I recognise now that I was privileged to grow up with that opportunity to get to know Jesus myself, to ask those questions and to learn. I was on the path of discipleship. I was in a context growing up where discipleship, getting to know Jesus, living life with Jesus was offered to me. And it was very up and down. That makes it sound like I've kind of always been progressing, which I haven't. I've been, you know, taking steps backwards and going around in circles a lot as well. But this idea that being a disciple is to know Jesus, to enjoy Jesus and to become like him, I think helps us understand it. Because the rest of my life is on that journey. I'm trying to know Jesus more, trying to enjoy life with him, trying to become more like him. That's how I became a disciple. And now you might have similar story to that, or you might have a different discipleship journey to mine. But we now know, through looking at that, have a bit of a better grasp of what it is to be a disciple. We can better look at how we can then make a disciple. In fact, we've kind of answered that second question by looking at the first one. We make a disciple by giving people the opportunity to know, enjoy, and become like Jesus. And of course, when you think about it, that's what the church is. As a church, we want to give people of all ages the chance to know, enjoy, and become like Jesus. People who've maybe been journeying with Jesus all their lives, or people who are completely new to it. So later on this lunchtime, I'll be meeting with the Sunday Club children, the primary school kids from our church, on Zoom, and we're going to be hearing a story about Jesus. I've got my beginner's Bible, and we're going to be reading one of the stories about Jesus. And there, in that Zoom meeting, be helping those children to get to know Jesus. That's what we do in our Sunday Club. We're making disciples. Now, we can do disciple making via our churches. We do it by our outreach, by Alpha courses. We do it by talking about the Bible like we're doing this morning and learning together in house groups. We can also do it in our everyday life, on our front lines with our neighbours, our work colleagues and our friends. So the church is like a vehicle for disciple making. The church can help, but we also need to take individual responsibility following Jesus. So each day I spend time praying and reading my Bible. Now, no one's going to know if I do that or if I don't do it. I do it because I myself am going to have the biggest impact on my walk with God. How I spend my time, my energy, my thought life, my mind, my body, my soul, all of that is an opportunity to learn more about Jesus, to be on that journey of discipleship. So while the church can help, we can't kind of portion off responsibility for us becoming a disciple to somebody else or to some organization. We have to take responsibility ourselves. And our lives themselves can be an opportunity for disciple making too. It might sound unlikely or even a bit scary, but people around us can learn about Jesus through our lives. Now, making a disciple is not a job that you can just tick off when it's done. When Ted gets his list of home learning tasks emailed from his teacher each day, it's quite satisfying to sort of tick them off and say, oh yeah, we've done your reading for today, Ted, and we kind of tick that off the list. And when my eldest completes her GCSEs, she'll get a grade that says that she's completed the qualification. But with making disciples, it's not really like that. It's an ongoing, lifelong journey. There's no point where you think, oh yeah, I've done it, I've completed it. I'll keep on learning and growing as a disciple for the rest of my life. I didn't complete the task when I said the sinner's prayer or received the Holy Spirit or prayed in tongues or became a vicar. I'm a work in progress. And that's how it is with discipleship making and with being a disciple. Now, Jesus gives us really clear instructions and a clear promise to us in this morning's reading. Verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the instruction for us is threefold. We are to make disciples of all nations. That's what we're told to do. And in doing that, it's about sharing who God is, not just with the Jewish world as it was with the first commission, but now with the whole world, people everywhere. The second one is to baptize. So as an outward sign of an inward reality, we baptize people. And in doing that, we recognize that we now belong to God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why we baptize in the name of the Trinity. And then thirdly, we are to teach to obey. So we're to share these stories and these teachings of Jesus, not just for information, but so that we live differently, so that the world is transformed by his way, a way that is love and justice and peace. We also call this the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. It means God's rule and reign coming to reality around us in our world. Now, these three instructions have changed the world. And of course, they're accompanied by a promise, aren't they? That I am always with you. If we think about those first 11 disciples, they heard that instruction to go and make disciples. And they did it throughout the whole world, even over here on this tiny island in the northwest of Europe. And we continue that legacy. There are more disciples on the earth now than there have ever been. It all started from those 11. We are disciples who make disciples, and so the journey continues. And just like the original disciples, we get it wrong. We mess up. We need to lean into Jesus's forgiveness and grace. Jesus didn't say, go and make perfect copies of me. He said, go and make disciples. And what were the disciples? Well, they were ordinary people following the way of Jesus. And through these imperfect disciples, we get the church, which helps us grow as disciples and make more disciples. And through these disciples, the hungry are fed, the sick are healed, and the kingdom appears on this beautiful and yet broken earth. So to finish, may I encourage and challenge you, that may you be encouraged and challenged by this commission that Jesus gives to go and make disciples. And may you be encouraged by the promise that Jesus said, and I am always with you. He will not leave us as we enter this endeavor. And may we keep going on this journey of discipleship. And may we shape our church and our life so that others can join in this journey too. This journey of getting to know Jesus better, enjoying him more, and becoming more like him. Amen.